Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message.
If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.matthewphoffman.com. Again, that's Amazon.com or www.matthewphoffman.com. And now, back to the show.
We are excited to be back here in Maynard, coming from Ivy Acres RV Park, baby. That's where Maynard lives these days, just outside of Greenville, South Carolina. And today we are covering the pillar of trust and honesty. This is the fourth pillar of our 14. If you all haven't seen or heard those yet, I'm going to hold up the 14 pillars that we have here. You can find them at MatthewPHoffman.com. And these are the critical elements, the 14 pillars that we think and know have to be present in a relationship for it to be successful and thriving. And today I want to start off with a little quote about relationships. And this is from picturequotes.com. If a relationship has enough trust, honesty, and understanding, it should never require promises, terms, and conditions. So that's, I think, a great relationship and talking about the importance of trust and honesty in our number one relationship, Kim. So when you think of trust and honesty, how do we define those terms to make sure we're all on the same page as we're diving into the importance of this in our relationships?
Well, I think I personally resonate with this pillar because when we talk about the importance of the pillars, it's right up there at the top for me. You know, we always talk about what pillar resonates with you the most. And I would have to say that, you know, right under commitment, this is probably next for me. But what does it mean to trust someone else? What does trust mean in the context of a relationship? It really means that I feel safe with you. I feel confident that you're not going to violate me. I'm really comfortable and know that I am in a good space with you. That's what I believe trust means.
I agree with that. Yeah, trust means, and it's not a, trust is consistency, right? It's the same response over time. It's not one thing. It's not, well, you do or you don't based on one action, right?
Agreed. It's little building blocks that go into place one at a time that really builds to a level of complete trust. And I think when you first are in a new relationship, it's not there, right? You don't know whether you can trust that person or not. And so when you say it is those small little deposits over time that really establish that bank account of trust, you're so right. You're dead on.
And I think it's important that we clarify for everybody, there isn't one relationship pillar or principle that is one and done. It's not a destination that I've done that, therefore I don't have to do it or think or worry about, oh, I said my vows and that's it, right? And, you know, if it was that easy, then everybody be married. If you could say your vows and yeah, I did it once and we're done, right? And we sail off into the sunset. But all of our pillars, trust and honesty, certainly at the top, require constant care and feeding and proof. You know, we use that bank account analogy, and it's those consistent, if you keep depositing, then your balance, your principal grows. But there's things that we do, right, that our withdrawals. It's when we screw up or we have to ask for grace or we make a mistake or maybe we did something that intentionally or unintentionally hurts our partner. Those make huge withdrawals from that same account, right?
Absolutely. I think it's also important to note that trust also allows us to be vulnerable and open with the other person without having to worry about or be concerned about what that person is thinking of us or the defensive need to protect ourselves.
Right, right. And I think that I kind of, you know, I talked about this a little bit before. It's not really an equation, but it is thinking about lack of trust. So I think there's not really a formula for trust, but I want to share kind of a progressive idea that Kim and I have talked about before. If you have lack of trust in a relationship, that equals lack of emotional intimacy. Because if you don't have trust, you're not going to have emotional intimacy. And I think the next step of understanding comes, if you don't have emotional intimacy, that equals lack of physical intimacy. Because if you're not emotionally close and feeling that you're connected emotionally with somebody, you really don't want to connect physically.
Yeah, you're not going to be wanting to have that physical touch or just that closeness that you feel when you're emotionally connected with someone. I could not agree more with you on that.
Right. Concept. And so when you don't have that emotional intimacy, there's no physical intimacy. Yeah. And if you don't have a lack of emotional and physical intimacy equals a weakly bonded relationship. And so, Kim, some people may go, well, you know, and there's going to be ebb and flow in every relationship for sure. But when you have a weakly bonded relationship, why is that dangerous?
Well, that's really scary to me because I think when you are weak and you are tempted for a betrayal, and it could be any kind of betrayal, it could be lying, it could be cheating, you know, it could be just a multitude of, or just having thoughts about possibly cheating. I think that when you're emotionally and physically weak, you are not in a good place when you're tempted. Because why do we want that emotional and physical connection? Why do we need that? We know that we can't survive without it, right? And if we're not getting it from our spouse, what are we going to do?
Yeah, you're going to look for it somewhere else.
Exactly.
No doubt. So
exactly. Weak, and that's why it scares me.
Yeah, weak bonds break. And so if you want to have that strong bond in your relationship, that's why it's so important to make sure that you are bonded emotionally and physically in strong trust and honesty. There's some a few studies that were done by Bella DiPaolo, and she said that people lie in 1 in 5 of their interactions. That they did some testing and there's data behind this. So that's crazy. 20% of the time people tend to respond untruthfully. And so more data on trust and honesty she gave is that dating couples lie to one another about a third of the time. Married couples lie to each other 1 out of 10 interactions.
Wow.
64% of our serious or big lies, which are deep betrayals of trust, do involve our closest relationship partners. And world-renowned research and therapist John Gottman examined a lot of focus groups and discovered that trust and betrayal were the most important issues that arise between partners. So it makes it to the top of the list, really, on a lot of people's radar. And that's why making sure that it's strong and always working on it and making those deposits is so important. And so when we think about qualities, Kim, of trust and honesty, you know, we developed the Kick-Ass Couples Assessment. And that's if you kind of want to understand a wider depth and breadth, we always encourage couples to take that assessment because it gives you kind of that third party, that non-biased person or thing in the room to talk about. So it's not you pointing the finger or one spouse saying to the other, hey, you got to work on this. And so that assessment talked about qualities of trust and honesty. And I'm going to read about what those are. The qualities of trust and honesty in a relationship should be transparent. You should be keeping promises. You've got to own up, right? When something happens, you have to be reliable, consistent, admitting when you're wrong, sensitive, and truthful. And would you want to share, Kim, what are the qualities of when there's a lack of trust and honesty? What does that look like, or what do we see?
Well, I think holding back, you're being secretive, you're not reliable, you're making excuses, you're covering things up, you're being deceptive. I think those are qualities when there's a lack of trust and honesty. When we're talking about honesty in a relationship, I believe it just boils down to really always telling your partner the truth all the time, whether it's big or small.
What are the rules or groundwork? Because if I'm telling you something that's sensitive, or if maybe if I have made a mistake and I tell you and you get all over me, it's not going to make me want to do that. So how do we establish ground rules or make it safe for us to share if there's been challenges or lapses?
Well, that's a great question. And I think it's different for everyone because we all have different triggers and we all have things that really at our core hurt us or we get defensive about automatically, right? So I think it's really important to have a conversation about when things do arise, when there are issues and we have a violation of trust and honesty, or we need to be honest and open about something. I think you have to set those parameters before you even get into those discussions. In other words, while you're talking about your relationship in general, speak to the importance of being able to set boundaries or set parameters or talk about how you're going to bring up difficult things to each other.
So it's agreeing on what that process looks like.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And I think you've got to review it over time and frequently, too. I think it's not the set it and forget it mentality. And I think something that you and I have talked about, Kim, and something that I had a fear and concern of in our relationship is that, are we living in the past? Like, hey, I've made a ton of mistakes in the past and I still make them today. But if you hold that against me, then I'm going to be fearful and walking on eggshells. And it's going to be difficult to establish a level of trust if you still look at me and go, you know, that one time when you did this, right? So I think that you have to ask yourself the question is, what's more important in your relationship and your life too? Is it the past or the future? And there's a great analogy that I've used before and want to kind of share with everybody today is, you know, when you're driving in your car, you've got a windshield and a rearview mirror. And why, Kim, do you think that windshield is so big and the rearview mirror is so small?
I don't know. Why don't you tell us?
I don't know.
You like Matthew. To ask this. You've asked me this question before when we've had been. And anyway, I think you like this question. So go ahead.
Well, I think it's important because what's in front of you and where you're going is so much more important as to where you've been. You don't want things to creep up on you and run into your backside, right? And that's why the rearview mirror is like, okay, what's coming up? Anything I need to be aware of? But what's in front of you, where you're going, right? Your trajectory is so much more important than where you've been, because the things you're doing, saying, thinking, and experiencing right now determine where you're going. And so yes, relationship-wise, you can't forget about and eliminate the past. It's always going to be there. But the perspective to know what we're sharing and doing right now determines our trajectory.
Well, and I think the point you're really always trying to make with that question is that we want to keep moving forward. And yes, it is good to pay attention to maybe what did happen, but what do we do when we've paid attention to what is in the rearview mirror? We learn, we grow, we move forward, right? We don't keep dwelling and looking back or bringing the same happenstance or whatever challenge it was up to the other person and putting it in their face.
Right. You've got to be willing to move on. I mean, you've got to address the issues when they occur or address them at some time, because if they're not resolved, they need to be talked about so that we can find that level of understanding. And I think that, you know, John Gottman talks about, we're talking about trust and honesty. And I think people can understand and feel good about why it's important. But, you know, John Gottman talks a little bit about, you know, what we can do to work on it. And he uses this term, Kim, called sliding door moments. So when you hear that term, how would you share the definition of what's a sliding door moment? When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder what you could be doing better? Have you ever thought how helpful it would be to be a part of a like-minded community of other imperfect couples who want to level up in their number one relationship? Come visit Kick-Ass Couples Nation, where you can talk with people just like you who are looking for ways to invest in and increase their joy, commitment and fulfillment in their most important human relationship. You'll have access to a team of licensed marriage therapists, coaches, articles, podcasts, live webinars, and more. Just visit MatthewPHoffman.com so you can learn more about a community that's ready to help you level up. That's MatthewPHoffman.com so you can become of the growing kick-ass couples nation right now.
I believe that when you are approaching me with a question or you're trying to get my attention and maybe my attention is diverted somewhere else, or, you know, just in general, you walk into a room, the question is, am I paying attention to you or not? Or am I continuing with what I'm doing and sort of ignoring you and hoping you might go away? And I think sliding door moments are so important because it's when we take our attention off of whatever it was that we were doing and put that attention on our spouse. It validates them. It makes them feel like they're important. And it makes them feel like they're being heard and that they matter. And that's why it's important to take those opportunities when those sliding door moments occur and make sure you're not ignoring that person.
Right. Yeah. They're bids, right? I mean, they're like bids of attention. Like I'm making a bid. I'm sliding the door open and inviting you in to interact with me, to jump into my reality or to connect. Really, it's an opportunity for connection. And so throughout your day with your spouse, you've got countless opportunities of sliding door moments. It might be as little as, oh my gosh, I can't believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers lost that football game last night, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's how they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. And I could say that and you could say nothing. And that would mean that you're passing on the opportunity, that bid to engage with me and form a connection. And it could be little, it could be big, and we have to really look for, so it's an active listening and work to make sure that we're leaning in and engaging and taking those bids that our partner is throwing out and giving to us.
Sure. Well, and I think, you know, when we talk about honesty and trusting your mate, I think it really, when you can have that element in your relationship and it exists and it's good and it's healthy, it removes a really large potential for concern and worry. And I really believe it helps the other person feel validated. It helps them to feel good about life in general. I think it's just overall healthy for your relationship. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. So a high level of trust means you don't have to worry. And I think that, you know, something that, you know, trust and honesty, if there's honesty increases, what does having a high level of that give you? It gives you self-esteem, right?
Yes.
You feel good because you're not concerned and focused on worrying something else. You have a higher capacity for compassion because if you trust somebody, you know that you can be vulnerable to them and they can be vulnerable to you.
Yes.
And nobody's going to take advantage of that, right? Or do something that would be damaging. You've got a higher capacity for intimacy, I
mm-hmm.
think.
Mm-hmm.
And your social connections just happen so much more often. And so there's all kinds of bonuses associated with higher levels of that. Have you, and you know, it also, having a high level of trust and honesty decreases things in your relationship that you don't want around, like tension, you know, yeah. muscle tension, sore throats, headaches, nausea, all those physical responses that you might have.
Right. Well, I read one study that said that, you know, when we lie, we have digestive problems, we have anxiety, depression, and we also have the potential to allow more illnesses in. And so I think that when we're talking about honesty and trusting someone, it really does help us to take risks and to help us to grow as a person.
I would agree.
Because we feel confident and comfortable.
So building that pillar of trust and honesty in your relationship is really, we talked about, it takes time and it's constant work and it's the accumulation, right, of a lot of bricks together that form it. But it's also, you know, I read a really good quote that said, a single lie discovered is enough to create doubt in every truth expressed. So we're talking about all the many things you have to do to build up trust and honesty, but one untruth or lie can just knock that foundation right off its base, can't it?
And I think what is important to note is that it's important to always have a culture of honesty in your relationship. I think sometimes people think it's okay to tell little white lies or small lies. Maybe it's even because you want to protect that person or keep that person from getting hurt. But I really believe that it's important that we make it a point to not lie to our spouse at all.
I agree. And when you say building the culture of that, Kim, building a culture means it's establishing the norms, right? If you establish that it's okay to tell the little white lies, and, you know, as long as, you know, it's and a little white lie could be telling them something that's not the truth because you think it's what they want to hear.
Right.
Right. But if you establish what the norms in the relationship are and you agree, hey, it's going to be honesty and it's going to be truth. And sometimes the truth is truth over comfort, right? And yes. Hearing the truth is not always the most comfortable thing. Sometimes it's uncomfortable that causes discomfort, but you can share those things. Being truthful and honest doesn't mean you're going to take your spouse out of the knees. It doesn't mean that, oh, they don't want to hear this, but it's the cold, hard truth and they got to just deal with it, right? And you got to make sure that you're delivering that truth or that honesty in a loving way and in a way that they can receive it.
Yeah. You had said honesty dictates trust, and it truly does. And I think that when you do those little white lies over time, because some people have kind of told themselves, they have in the back of their head, it's okay, I'm doing this to protect my spouse, or it's okay, I'm doing this because I love my partner and I don't want to hurt my partner. But I think over time, it can really hurt the core and the foundation of your relationship.
I would agree with that. And I think that, you know, it's when you sow trust, you reap honesty, right? I mean, if you're being honest and you're sowing those qualities into the relationship, you're going to reap them 100-fold back. And you got to be really careful what you're sowing in there, because it's what's going to come back. And if you're telling those little white lies and the dishonesty is creeping in, it's going to come back to haunt you in how you're treated and how the relationship really forms it.
Sure.
So Kim, if there was one thing, you and I did this activity, we were on a hike the other day with our dogs, and we sat on a bench and we're kind of looking in the woods, and I said, I want to try something. You said, okay. And so Kim and I did this where we looked into each other's eyes for 5 minutes. And this is one thing that you all can practice. You may say, all right, why are you asking us to do this, Matt? And I'm asking you because I want you to look into your spouse's eyes and gaze at them with no communication, no questions, no talking, and just look in their eyes for 5 minutes. Set a timer and do it. And then after you've done that, I want you to ask some deep questions. And one thing that I did with Kim is I said, after our timer went off, I said, I want you to share with me what your deepest, darkest fears are. And she did. And she shared them with me. And then I shared what mine were with her, because what that gaze does is it sets you up for connecting. Really difficult to stare quietly into somebody's eyes and what are you thinking and what are your thoughts are going through your head and how are you feeling about them. And then when you're done, you share something, you've done the groundwork to make them receptive to what you want to say, and you're now receptive to what they want to share with you. So it's called the 5 minute gaze. I would encourage you all to do that and really take the time to form a connection and then have that deep and intimate conversation. And it's those deep conversations that really build trust.
I was just about to
say
that.
And honesty, right?
Yes. I mean, it was a great exercise, and I feel like it was just continuing to add to that bank account of trust and honesty. And I feel like, you know, when there is a little bit of a lack of honesty in a relationship, you really begin to question everything, right? you start to say, is my partner, where are they going, where they say they're going to go? Do they really love me? Am I enough for them? So I feel like that's why it's so important to really not let any lies, big or small, into your relationship.
I agree, Kim. And I think that, you know, you talk about it, where are you going? I think, you know, there's so many ways, and we can just kind of riff on that for a second.
Sure.
What are the ways that you can do to build trust in us? You said, where are you going? And being where you are and saying, hey, babe, I told you I was going to the store. I finished at the store. Now a text. Now I'm going to go here and do this and then I'll be home. Right. And, you know, and that's one way. Can you think of another way that you can, what are some of the things that we do or that you see people do that just everyday, mundane, day-to-day things that help build that trust and that level of honesty?
Well, I think just connecting, right? Not going all day without hearing from your spouse, it starts to put questions into your mind. Where are they? What are they doing? I think texting, picking up the phone and saying, hey, just checking in. How are you? Those types of things. The connection is what builds the bond. The bond is what I believe promotes trust and honesty.
Yeah, it's those touch points and making sure you're taking time.
Absolutely. So,
something that, you know, Kim and I, we have the same security code for our phones, like to unlock them. And we know the passwords, right? I mean, do you know the passwords and the security for your spouse? We share our locations with each other, not because we don't trust each other, but we want to know, hey, I'm making plans for dinner. Where's my wife? I can look and see, oh, she's about 10 minutes away. Okay. And I want her to know where I am as well, because there's never a time or a place where I don't want her to know where I am and what I'm doing. And I freely share that. And it's, hey, I'm going to do this. Well, how long are you going to be gone? I should be back in about an hour. And then if that changes, taking the time to say, wow, this is the lines are really long. I'm going to be here probably another 30 minutes and then I'll be home. It's not because she doesn't trust me. I do that. It's because I'm making a deposit. I'm forming a connection. I'm reaching out to say, hey, I was thinking about you. How did that go? Right. I know you had a big meeting today and it's now an hour past that. And I want to connect. I want to build and pour into that relationship. And so it's taking those opportunities and thinking about what are all the creative ways you can make those touch points and connections.
Yeah, and I think that's so important to me, because I come from this is my second marriage. And so I come from a place of where there was mistrust and probably some dishonesty. And it just really helps validate our relationship when you do that with me. And I'm sure I'm not the only one out there that has sort of those trigger points or comes from a relationship of mistrust. And it doesn't even have to be with another spouse or somebody that you are married to or were dating. It could be, mistrust on any level.
Right. It happens, you know, trust and honesty spill over, whether it's in your main number one relationship with your spouse, your life partner, or if other people are there as well. Some of those same things trigger you. And, you know, and to Kim's point, there are some things about her previous relationship that I didn't know. I still am actually finding them out after 28 years of being together. And so getting understanding so I don't intentionally or unintentionally stumble into one of those triggers and cause her to come off the tracks, so to speak. So gosh, it's a deep topic and we could go on for a long time, but I think we really want you all to understand the importance, you know, how do you define it? Thinking about where are you in your relationship and how can you strengthen it and talk to your spouse, your partner about it, and then making the investment and the time. And, you know, it's that body of work over time that's going to really strengthen that pillar and help make your foundation stronger. And I want to kind of throw out a little quote to wrap up and end with today, too, is this is by Earl Nightingale. And he said that success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal or ideal. And so trust and honesty, it's progressive and it's something that's ongoing. It's not a destination. You don't get it all the time. But if you're being successful in building trust and honesty, it means that you are progressively realizing it on a day-to-day basis. So give yourself some grace, understanding it's a ongoing journey and that trust and honesty are built with a lot of small things over time. And it's something that you're capable and worthy of doing if you're both focusing on it and committing to it. And gosh, if you want to learn about how you can be better in your relationship and build that trust and honesty more sincerely, we have Kick-Ass Couples Nation, which is our online membership group of like-minded, imperfect people that want to learn how they can level up in their number one relationship. So if you want to learn more about that, if you'd like a free trial, if you want to join our founders group, we have incredible monthly webinars where we talk with a team of licensed marriage therapists and share what you can do and give you things that you can do right now to level up in that number one relationship. So go to MatthewPHoffman.com if you haven't already and check that out. Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast or other episodes, please give us a review and share with other people. We're glad you decided to join us here on the Kick-Ass Couples podcast and hope that you will never forget that happily ever after does not just happen. It's on purpose.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's newly released book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away. Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen. It's on purpose.